Hey, everybody, and welcome to the 1528 podcast. We're so glad to be back here. We hope you've used this time to catch up on the relationship episodes and some other episodes that have been very, very, provocative. We've talked about it in the community group. We've talked about it all over the place. So hopefully you all had a chance to catch up. But today we're back. And before we jump into what we want to talk about today, I got to check in with my fellas. It's been a couple of weeks. How y'all doing?
I'm good. Let's go.
What's good? What's good?
Here go JT.
I'm good. Let's go. It's early. You say it's early? I feel like it's 2 o'clock over.
I woke up early, goddammit.
Right. Shit. All right. Well, let's not belabor any longer and let's see what we're talking about today. So the Olympics is a hot topic right now. Everybody's talking about some aspect of the Olympics. And one of the things that we haven't got a chance to talk to with the fellas is this whole Sha'Carri Richardson situation. So we want to kind of bring it back around and see what perspective we have on that. So the question I have for you fellas is, should the Olympic Committee made an exception and let Sha'Carri run for smoking weed?
No.
Not at all.
Okay, next question. Plain
I mean, the reality of it is there are rules that the Olympic Committee goes by, and it's not something where the U.S. committee could have just said, oh, you know what, it's legal in half of the states here, so we're just going to allow it. No, the IOC decides the rules of what you can and can't do and still be allowed to participate in Olympics. And if you break a rule, you break a rule. I mean, it sucks because we all wanted her to run, and I completely get like some of the things that she was going through that made her feel like weed was the escape that she needed, because people deal with different things differently. She had just lost her mom and found out in a damn news report. Right. And like she was smoking weed to kind of calm her nerves and shit.
I have a question. And I mean, Dre, did she say that?
Shit happens.
Or did we give her that? Did she say that she smoked weed because she lost her mom? Or did we give her that?
Well,
I think we
gave her. She said she didn't smoke weed, but she literally started smoking the week that she lost her mom was the first time she got caught.
Right.
It's just a logical conclusion.
Well,
I mean, but she gets tested all the time. She got tested in college nonstop. Mm-hmm. She went from college.
But did they test for weed?
National championship. Yeah. NCAA. Yeah. I mean, it's random, but they do.
Okay. The reason why I say that is because, like, if she smoked weed to cope with something, that's a different conversation. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not just we was kicking it with the Olympic team or some of my homies or whatever. We was happy I won and I sparked up with them. I had an edible with them and we having a good time. Juxtapose, I'm dealing with a hard situation, so I got to smoke this weed to take me away. That's a totally different conversation. So I would.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't know if she formally came out and said that, but yeah, it's a logical conclusion seeing that she, according to her, she didn't smoke weed before and she admitted to smoking it now, and that's what literally led up to it.
Right.
A couple of days before she smoked, so logical conclusion to draw.
Yeah, so it's a safe bet, but it may be an assumption. I only say that because like we do that a lot, right? We do that. We'll give somebody a condition. We mostly do it with kids. It has to be hard. Like you don't know how the kids feeling. Like we just give them adult feelings, or we give inanimate objects fillings, and we say, well, this has got to be the situation. And then it's like we make it something so much bigger or more than what it actually is. Like she's 20, right? I think she's what, 20, 21?
Well, no, she definitely said that dealing with all that stuff was a lot.
Yeah.
All we're giving her is that was why she smoked. Like all the other shit happened. She said it took a huge emotional toll on her.
Yeah.
And she admitted to smoking weed in that same conversation. She didn't necessarily say, she didn't blame it on that.
If then.
And that might have just been taking responsibility for what you did kind of a thing and not just blaming it on shit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, those are very logical conclusions to draw. But no, you shouldn't have made an exception because rules are rules. And when Mike Phelps got caught smoking, he served his 3 months suspension. It just happened to not be during the Olympics.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Right.
Exactly what Dre said. Exactly.
I think personally, like the whole coping thing, I think it was irresponsible for anybody that like suggested this weed for her. Like if you never really smoked before, how do you know smoking weed is going to calm you down just because you're in this stressful situation? Because you've never done it. You don't know how it affects you. It can only be suggested that this is going to calm you down, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it was very irresponsible for whoever said, hey, you need to hit this blunt to calm you down or whatever. Or even if she sought it out, somebody should have said, nah, you got shit going on.
Yeah.
More than just this, you shouldn't do this.
But at the same time, if somebody's like, if one of y'all came to me like, yo, I'm going through feelings I've never felt before, and this shit hurts more than it's ever hurt before. We caused a lot of people down. This is my only shot of like maintaining my sanity. I'm not going to tell you no. I mean, not weed. Well, if it was like crack. So, yeah. But if you said, let me hit this blunt because I need to try something to calm down my nerves, I'm going to support you in that.
But I wouldn't. With all that pending, knowing it's against the rules?
No. All that aside, I'm just talking about the general statement that he made.
It wasn't a general statement. It was more like in
context
about,
with this.
In context, oh, no, I mean, like, you know, you got
the fact that she's an Olympian, I would never let her.
Right. It's like, absolutely not.
Like, no, exactly. Nothing else matters.
However, we've all hung around with, like, professional athletes, right? Have y'all been around professional athletes? Like, if they're going to do something, they're going to do something. Like, there is no, don't let them do this. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they already have this type of mentality that, like, they're kind of above, you know, consequence. Mm-hmm. Some of them, I can't just generalize everybody, but you have, a lot of them have this attitude that they're above.
They've been pampered their whole life and expected.
Yeah. Basically. So for me as a regular guy, even though we the homie, as a regular guy, to be like, bro, I'm not giving you this weed, man. Like, no. I mean, all they're going to do is be them, in a lot of cases, be them, and because y'all friends, they're going to give you a hard time. But then they're going to go get it if they want to get it, right?
Right. They're going to get it from somebody. Somebody's going to give it to them.
But I feel you, though, in the person who – because everybody at that point knew who she was. So even the weed man or the if she went to a dispensary, they're not going to turn down business. So that just is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
JT, you got any other thoughts on it?
I don't want to belittle how she felt, right? Emotionally behind, you know what I'm saying, her loss or whatever. But I'm also at the point of, like, you got the Olympics to coming up. Like, something doesn't click. Like, oh, I need to, you know, keep myself clean because you get tested for that shit. Like, they test you for whatever, whenever. Like, you need just to be ready, be professionally ready at any given time when you're going up, especially on this particular stage. You know, I hate it for her, but it's the consequence for your actions type of deal. Like, I can't sit here and be like, oh, she blah, blah, blah. They should have let her blah, blah, blah. Mm. Nah, you do some shit like that. You know, what they say, play stupid games. So, you know, yeah. So that's, I hate it for it in general. But at the same time, like, I get it. Like, that's what happens when you do shit like that.
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes it just doesn't click. Like, I mean, this seems like a real easy, like, thing to pick apart, to say you're an Olympian, you know? But, like, we make life decisions all the time that's kind of like, something should tell you shouldn't be making this decision right now. You know what I'm saying? And we do it anyway.
But my thing is, if she knows she's get tested on a collegiate level, right? Mm-hmm. She's running track in college. You know they're gonna test you. It could be today, tomorrow, whenever, or maybe even never, right? What the fuck you think they're gonna do with the Olympics? You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, that I felt like that should click in. Maybe that's just me at 40 feeling that way, but you know.
So it's a couple of things with that too, and one of them is if you've ever like had something come up where you knew you was about to get tested, it's always somebody around that's like, oh, no, I got some stuff that'll clear you up. You'll be fine.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Right? Absolutely. So it's always that guy. But then at the same time, and we'll get into this on the other side of the commercial a little bit, though. For her, the alternative could have been, it could have been just as bad, right? Like, she lost her mom. Mm-hmm. I don't know her relationship with her mom. I don't know how she is with dealing with grief. This might have been her first experience with it on such an intimate level. And it might have been like an earth-shattering experience for her, to the point where if she didn't find some kind of relief or escape or whatever it might be, she might have had to take the Simone Biles route and just step aside anyway. So it might have been like, if I don't do this, I'm not going to run just personally, mentally, to maintain my peace. So let me at least try this so that I have a fighting chance. And that might have been where she sat. I don't know, but it's a logical conclusion that she might have been at that place mentally.
Yeah, and it's also probably a logical conclusion that somebody told her before she ingested or smoked the weed that I got you. Like you said, we cleared that out. Don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? I got
your homie.
Yeah, it's always them people around when I got a drug test for a job.
It's a calculated risk.
Like, one, I don't smoke anyway, but two, no, I'm not trusting your fucking milk juice, nigga.
And so, for those who have smoked, does it really calm you down?
Yeah.
Because just to be vulnerable right here and transparent, depends on the mom, strength. As you listen to this, maybe, okay, because I'm going to say, like, the one time that I've done it, no, it was not a calming sensation.
That's
it
your
was
first time doing it. Yeah.
And, well, different strands too. Is it like sativa, the calming one, and the other one, the
indica
is the calming one. Sativa, something
sativa
else.
Sativa, it just have you deep in your thoughts, and you can be It's like you can be functional still. The thing is that it calms you down. However, it calms you down with your thoughts, so it doesn't really take away your, like, if I'm thinking about my mom passing. And I get high, I'm gonna think about everything in detail about my mom passing.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, because it was, I wasn't frantic. I wasn't all over the place, but I was sitting there, and like, I literally was going through everything, whatever crossed my mind. I was thinking about it for at least 20 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like, in detail. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was watching this not stupid movie, but it's called Spirited Warrior, and this Olympic guy who was doing a vault or something like that, and visually he lands wrong and it shows his leg shattering just for visual effect. I had that stuff in my system and I see it and I literally think the guy's leg shatters, and then I start thinking about my leg shattering and I'm like, oh my God. And you know what I'm saying? Like, nah.
But that's the point to some of it, JT. If you got real deep personal shit on your mind, like, and you through. Don't want to think about that. Now you're thinking about this goddamn leg for the next 45 minutes, and you totally forgot about all the other stuff that's actually more hurtful to you.
Yeah, that's if you watch TV, though.
Okay.
Because, like,
I mean, a lot of times it just takes people away from their main issue and brings all this other random shit.
Well, it depends.
And bet more noise necessary.
No, I mean, some people, not everybody, some people.
What I'm saying is that it depends on if you watch TV when you smoke. Like, you may go out and sit and just reflect with your own thoughts and whatever that thing is. You know what I'm saying? Like, and this is, like you said, and everybody's different, but weed isn't necessarily, in my experience, weed isn't an escape.
Right.
It's not an escape from, like, being drunk is more of an escape than getting high, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying?
Actually, I hate to say yes, drink to escape, but you know what I'm saying? In my experience, drinking, it definitely helps, you know, a little bit more coping. Like, you become shitty in other ways, but like,
It's a calculated risk. Another calculated risk.
Absolutely.
We're not. The 1528 guys are not condoning drug and alcohol use. Just that disclaimer's out there.
But we're not. Unless
if it's legal in your state. Right. I'm about to say.
We're not condoning it either.
Right. I just don't want y'all to. Let's talk about precedents. It's one thing I think people don't think about when you think about this situation. Let's think about the precedents of it. The precedence is we want drug-free athletes in the Olympics, right? No matter what the drug is, we want drug-free Olympians.
Wait, who's saying that?
Well,
what do you mean?
Not enhancement athletes.
Yeah, they want performance enhancement.
When you say we, who are you talking about? Are you talking about the IOC or are you talking about us?
Obviously, the IOC, the committee. They want.
Oh, okay. They, not we. Yeah. I'm like, wait,
let him finish this question.
No, that's what I was trying to see who he was referring to.
So I mean, I think me as a parent would want to have drug-free Olympians for my kids to watch and say, this is how athletes are, like, drug-free, committed to your craft, and you automatically become a role model. It doesn't matter whether you want to be or not; you automatically become one. And so, if they let her slide and say, okay, it's just weed, then what precedence is that setting, right? What other things can you then have in your system to say, it's just this, right? Then you start trying to stretch the thing. So I don't think they should have made a exception for her, but I think it should go into consideration for future, you know, is we something we should have on our list of prohibited, you know, substances or whatever. But I think you start setting precedence of, like, what drug can I take? What cannot take? What ingredients in that drug can I use or whatever? If you just say, okay, Shakari, it's just weed, go ahead and run. You know what I'm saying?
But I think also it's that having that conversation about being realistic about what drugs really do, mm-hmm. and what drugs should, what drugs really enhance your performance, right? I feel like weed is definitely a banned substance across the board internationally. There's definitely places where you can do it, you know, way more freely than others. However, overall, I would be okay with an athlete smoking weed. I have no issues with that. When, you know, maybe 10 years ago, I'd have been like, nah, you don't need no weed, blah, 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 da, da, da. But, you know, a little bit more studied and conversation with people who actually, you know, do it on a daily, it ain't no big deal. It does sit you down for the most part. However, these other drugs that literally give you superhuman strength for a little bit, those type of deals, they help you recover way quicker than you would, you know, if you were not taking them. Those are the ones I'm like, nah, we don't need those. I need you to be a little bit better about your training and your recovery and all that good stuff. And just be good at your craft without sticking a needle in your arm or your leg or whatever the case may be. So yeah, it's just that having a real conversation about the situation and in detail about the do's and don'ts, especially with kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to that initial point about, you know, the whole kid aspect and you wanting them to, your athletes to be drug free. I don't see it that way. And I don't think if I had kids, I would either, because to me, if it's legal, it's legal. And the same way I'm not going to say I don't want my athletes to drink alcohol. Well, if they're drinking alcohol and they're doing it responsibly and it's at a legal amount, sure, if they're drinking and driving, it's an issue. But if they're maintaining a legal status while doing it, then I don't think that's a negative thing. I don't think that's something that we should hide from our kids. I don't think that's something along those lines. Now, if it was, let's say, and which is just silly, half of them are. But if it's a state where weed is not legal, then it's different, right? Mm-hmm. But if she's in a state where it's allowed, then it's allowed. But I think that also rolls up to a larger conversation that we might have to have in the future, where a lot of this, well, not a lot of it, but too often that conversation is kind of thrown out there about not wanting to have athletes or not wanting the role models to do something because of the kids, where I know it's not the case in your situation, Sid, but just a lot of people use it as a crutch where they don't want to actually parent their kids and have rough conversations. Right. So they want everything else that their kids to see to be perfect, so they don't have to actually do it themselves.
Well, okay.
And yeah, yeah. I think too many people try to use it as a crutch in that manner. And I think that's a huge problem in my eyes.
Okay, two things. I want to go back, Dre, real quick, and not come back to this outside influences piece. When you said rules are rules, I think, you know, if you look at it and you say, listen, drugs are against the rules for this right here, and then you make a concession for somebody because they're sensationalized, I think that sends the wrong message. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was against the rules, regardless if it's legal or not in your state.
Right, she shouldn't be running because the rules was no weed.
Right.
Yeah, we agree on that.
So we're on that. So then I just want to say that real quick because I'm with you on that. The next thing is, like, the outside influences. Here's the thing that's hard as a parent. Y'all know good and well, there's some things that you've done. Well, you don't got to admit what they are, but there's some things that you've done that you know good and well your mother and father did not raise you that way. You know what I'm saying? But you have the outside influences of your friends, of athletes, of rappers, of all kind of stuff, right? And so you're trying to limit the things that are around your kid. And that's one of the scariest things about being a parent, because you know that you're trying to parent your kid the best of your ability. You know that you're trying to get that going. But then you do have your kid looking at this athlete like, wow. Even if it's legal, you smoke weed, you smoke cigarettes, you drink.
So
I want to do that too. And it has nothing to do with me not wanting a parent or being a good or bad parent. It's just the fact that my kid looks up to this person and they're doing something that I don't want my kid to think is cool.
So I hear that. Yeah. Now, does that mean that said athlete person can no longer be an adult and function in an adult manner because of your child? Mm-mm. Not, you know, but yours in particular, yeah, because your child is going to look at them in whatever light. Like,
sure,
I'm a role model. My so now I can't.
Right, and my whole point with JT saying, they're human just like we are.
Absolutely.
We got to treat them the same way.
Well, and then, I'm sorry, Drew, I meant to say this when I was bringing up your point about the rules, right? The whole thing is, if it wasn't against the rules, then we wouldn't even know anyway. right? Like if they didn't, if weed was legal and they didn't test for it and somebody was high, my kid wouldn't know, y'all wouldn't know, I wouldn't know, because it wouldn't be a
thing. It might be nowadays they'll probably be doing it on Instagram, so we probably know.
Right.
We would probably fucking know.
Paul Pierce ass nigga.
Yeah. So I get it. So okay, so let me ask y'all this, just to round out the conversation a little bit. What do y'all think about the people who do think it should be an exception? Like where do you think they are? What do you think they're, you know, what would you say to those people who are saying like, yo, 1528?
Ooh, I got this one. First off, 98% of them are playing the black card, and they need to just fucking stop it.
Yeah.
Like, fucking stop it. It's not because she's black. It's because she broke a rule. Sure, she is black, and sure, she's dominating. And sure, some people hate that. But that's not why she's not running in this year's Olympics. Yeah. Everything else aside, if she was a white person that would have got caught smoking, they would have given her that 30-day suspension, and she wouldn't have been able to run in the 100-meter race anyway. So stop fucking playing that card, because when we actually need to play it, it's gonna be numb because y'all using it too goddamn much.
Oh, agreed.
Quiet wolf ass niggas.
Man, y'all killing me with that. Like, I'm gonna need to use this shit one day, and ain't nobody gonna care.
Well, I think Dre rounded up the conversation pretty well right there.
Yeah. Totally agree. Absolutely right there.
Like, boom.
I will say this, part of that whole black card thing that people are playing is, oh, the race card. I don't know if you guys saw that article about the two white ladies that talked about their CBD regimen as far as like recovery and all that stuff. And somebody saw...
You talking about the Olympians that are starting a company, or are you talking about something
else? Yes. And
the soccer ladies.
Yes. So somebody saw that and posted it about it. It was like, I told y'all it was about black and white. Y'all don't think this is stupid. I don't think they actually read the article, though. Because they're talking about CBD and not THC, and they're talking about recovery and all this stuff, doing training, not while you're actually competing. Like, it's two different things. Mm-hmm. It's one thing, like, you can do whatever the hell you want to before the season.
As long as
it's out of your system and you're ready to go and you don't get tested dirty, you're good. So just to act like, just because these people are starting this company for CBD recovery, which is totally different from having THC in your system.
Yeah, you can't get high for CBD anyway.
Right, exactly. Don't just go straight to the race thing.
All right,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So to answer the first question, yes or no, I don't believe she should have got an exception just because rules are rules. Even in states that it is legal, you can work for a corporate company that still says you can't test dirty for
absolutely
this. And that's what you signed up for when you accepted that job. So once you accept being an Olympian or doing this, this is a job, this is a passion, this is what you have to do. There are things you have to sacrifice in order to do those things. I think it's unfortunate. I think perhaps maybe her dominance may have sparked the test to see if she was on any PEDs. It just happens to be that it was just weed in our eyes. But it sucks. You know, it really does suck. And my heart goes out to her for anything that she is going through mentally and emotionally. But it was a bad move.
Yeah. Knee-jerk reaction said, it's not fair, let her run. But then after you calm down your emotions, it's like, okay, yo, we can't end this segment without this. I think JC brought this up in our production call when Jamaica smacked everybody. And then Sha'Carri replied, I think, in a tweet or something saying, y'all miss me. What does that statement do for her?
It for me, it shows a little bit of cockiness. And the crazy thing about it is, like, I've been seeing people like, she could have been talking to her ex-boyfriend about some shit like that, blah, blah, don't blah. Make... like, you're trash.
Fuck out of here.
Yeah. I was like, y'all, like, it makes you, like, literally want to shut the internet down.
Right.
And, you know, for her to say that, I think I get it. But at the same time, like, ma'am, no one knew who you were until, like, 3 months ago. And the fact that you got in trouble by doing something you had no business doing at the particular time, given your given reasons, which the reasons part I understand, but at the same part, like you said, like BJ said, this is your job. You signed up for it. These are the rules and regulations that go along with it. So, you know, ma'am, please just chill. Like, just but have one seat. Not several, just one seat. Just one seat.
I would say this. I understand her sentiment, right? Like, it's how can we praise Ali about being the most brash, cocky person in the world, and then as soon as somebody else who maybe hasn't reached that greatness or whatever, they can't do it. Right, she said, "Y'all miss me."
Come on,
because Ali was.
I'm gonna let you finish.
Ali was.
I'm gonna let you finish, but nah.
Ali was cocky before he was.
He was
cocky as shit. That Louisville ass bullshit. He was cocky to the motherfucker.
Come on, Doc. You gotta throw that part in there.
First off,
I mean, now if you really want to do that, I mean,
home of the greatest.
Right, but absolutely. BJ, the difference is why she's not there.
Right, exactly. Yeah, right, exactly.
The difference is she's not there because of her own doing. And she's saying that in a arrogant tone, like, I could have been there flexing on them hoes, but y'all wouldn't let me. Right. No, you could have been there flexing on the hoes, but you made a decision that kept your ass on the couch.
You didn't let yourself.
Yeah, that's not the same. Yeah. You can't put them in the same breath. That's doing a huge injustice to Muhammad Ali and everything that,
especially his, when he was disqualified, is because he didn't want to go
last set.
First off,
go to war.
He didn't want to go to war,
right?
In Vietnam. He didn't, you know, and then other racist things he was dealing with, like that impacted his career. However,
so first off, go ahead.
He's about to hit him up. So, so I think for me, it kind of like walks back her accountability statement when she got caught. You know, when she was just like, I own it, I accept it, you know, it was a bad time for me, but it was me. I made this mistake and I come back stronger than ever, da da da. Like, I was with that. I was like, cool, Shikari, you took accountability, you know, you're owning it, you're good to go. But then to come back with some, y'all miss me yet? Like, see, there's Memphis. First off, calm down. Cause like, didn't nobody took anything from you, like Dre just said. I try not to reiterate everything he just said. But just like you said, no one took anything from you. No one, you know, you're not sitting out.
It's not like
somebody
it was unfair.
Right. It was unfair. Right. Like, yeah. It was a standard that you didn't meet. And then you had everybody behind you.
America didn't cheat on you. Like,
what'd you say?
Like, America didn't cheat on you. Like, miss me now? Like, what the hell? Like, first off, watch your mouth when you talk about Louisville people, BJ. I just want to put that out
there.
And Dre,
don't be co-signing on that.
Right, I had to throw that out there. But no, I to me, it show how young she is, and
that's,
you know,
exactly what I was about to say.
I really get it, but at the same time, you just want, when you see kids do something and be like, nah, wait a minute, like that's not how you want to roll. Like, you don't want to put yourself in this light, because the team is missing you. But you took yourself away from the team by doing what you did. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I had this conversation earlier today. Like, I do believe she may have been able to win a medal. She probably would have been able to break that up somewhere. But, and she gave them their props and shit like that, which was cool. But when it comes after a statement like that, or, you know, a tweet like that, it doesn't have the same impact as... It's being genuine.
Seems disingenuous.
Because you're throwing your teammates
under the bus and everything. Yeah, like I'm better than y'all.
And none of these other chicks got what I got, which may be true. But what you don't do on the world stage is be like,
especially,
you know what I'm saying, like, y'all should have had me. Y'all should have held me down and let me run. I bet y'all missing me and my talents now. Well, yeah, a little bit. But I'll never admit that, because you the one that took yourself
you
out of the game.
No. You should have just said,
"Yeah,
David Ruffin."
And like the thing that I do understand, like, I understand why she did it. Yeah. She did it because she's an immature ass 21-year-old. Yeah. Y'all remember the shit that we were doing at 21 years old?
Go back. We didn't have social media.
We were filming asshole in grocery stores, knocking over shit and diving into stockpiles and shit and recording it. And we ain't even had internet. We had nobody to share it to. We was just doing it for ourselves. What the fuck? So, like, I get it. That's why she did it. She's young. She's immature. She's a college kid.
Yeah.
And she's has a lot of growth still left in her.
Yeah.
But she's going to go through these moments. And this was just one of those where her age and immaturity and youthfulness just showed.
And somebody needs to meet this young lady. I'm going to talk about this later in my conclusion, but somebody needs to meet this young lady in these gaps that she's experiencing. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody needs to meet her in these gaps when it's just like, okay, here's a gap. I lost my mom. Somebody need to meet her there to support her the way she didn't feel like she needed to go to weed or anybody else who had her, who maybe influenced her use of narcotics. And then in these situations where it's like, now I'm trying to deal with the disappointment of my decision. Somebody got to meet her there so she won't be on Twitter with her immaturity. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta have people in places. Like, it takes that village, man. You know what I'm saying?
And it's not, that sounds good.
It's at your fingertips.
I'm about to say, like, it's right there. Like, I'm in the grocery store by myself, and I get worried that something happened. Like, oh, put it back in my pocket. Keep on riding. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to mute people, even the president. You know, ex-president, you know what I'm saying? We couldn't get a chance to mute that nigga until they pulled him off of that shit. So, you know, it's kind of like, I totally understand it.
Well, when I say meet her in a gap, I don't mean necessarily somebody come and snatch her phone out of her hand. I mean, just somebody. I hear you. that's one way to go about it. But I just mean somebody just being there to support her through this. And I'm sure she does have supporters, but
No, I was going to say, I get what you're saying there, totally, but it's also one of those things where, is she the kind of person that lets other people do that? Because
right.
I wasn't when I was dealing with grief. First 3 years, I locked down, and that subject was off limits to everybody in my world, right? So, like, what kind of person is she? Like, is she that kind of person that lets people in on those conversations, in on those feelings, and helps her cope, or does she just, like, shut it down, absorb it within herself, right? So it could be on her where that's not an option.
Yeah.
People should definitely be trying, to your point. But it's not always a guaranteed solution either.
That's real. Well, listen, y'all.
No, I was going to say, I think the dopest tweet she could have put out was something more along the lines of, I'm really sorry I let my team down. Like, after they lost, that should have been it. So she would have gave it. Her point still would have been made, like, yeah, they're missing me, but it would have been more or less like, I let my team down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it would definitely have been like, had I been there.
Right.
Had I been there, things would have been different. And because I'm not, I could have made more of an impact had I been there.
She still takes the responsibility of it. That should have been the tool. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
I agree with that.
Well, listen, man, we all out here making these decisions every day. We don't all have the world looking at us when we make our decisions, and we don't always have these huge impacts that everybody knows about or are making these decisions. But the same way we can all critique this situation, not necessarily critique her, but critique the situation, I think we should also take that type of perspective in our own lives. When the Bible tells us to get the beam out of your own eye before you get the splinter out of somebody else's, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got to really, you know, let somebody else, like Dre said, you know, people don't always accept the help, the advice and all that. So, like, if you're listening to this and you're thinking like, oh man, they talking about this girl and what would they do, da da da, like, you're right, what would we do? But what would you do too? So make sure that you're surrounding yourself with people that, and you'll listen when you're about to tweet something. I put some on Facebook that, you know, good and well, quit talking about your baby daddy, we don't care. Quit putting all your business out there, like, you know, just different things. Just try to be mindful of these things. So we're about to go to commercial, and we'll be back in a minute. Sit tight. Hey, everybody, this is Sid. I want to remind you to visit our page on Facebook or our website or our IG and ask 1528 anything that you want to know. We're ready to have this show next week, but we want to hear from you and we want to reflect your questions in that show. So get on there, get your questions in, ask us anything. It's 1528 Ask Us. We want to hear from you. Peace. All right, everybody, welcome back. We're going to jump into our second question to get the fellas' perspectives on that. And we're still with the Olympics. So, fellas, Do you agree with Simone's decision to withdraw from the events? And two-part question. How do you feel about the public's reaction to her decision?
I personally definitely agree. If she feels that her head is not in it, she definitely should have pulled out, depending on just based on if it was too much pressure or the fact that she was saying like she was losing herself in the air, that becomes very dangerous. You know, so if she's like not really unable to focus for whatever reason it is, it doesn't matter. It behooves her to pull out. Not only, especially because
definitely pull out if you need to.
Can we stop saying pull out, please?
No, no, that's like
that's why I just had
to. You know me, I'm saying like, oh my god,
pull out if you got to, guys.
I mean, I understand if you she didn't to. Pull out.
If you don't,
but if not you don't pull, she you don't did. Feel it.
If you don't feel it, pull out.
No, I'm dealing with children. So right, you just literally talked about the immaturities of somebody, and you are the worst.
Absolutely, but I'm not tweeting this.
The worst bird. Especially with the moves that she's doing, she's so high up in the air, she's twisting and turning. If she can't find the floor or know exactly where she is, that could be career ending or even life ending. So I definitely agree with that. And then to the people that are giving her all this grief over it, are most people who have never been an athlete in their ever, right? Trying to act like she's unpatriotic or that she just don't got the stuff. Like she just doesn't have the mental fortitude or whatever. You know, we have one thing about these gymnasts. They have been, we might learn about them when they're 17, 18, 19, sometimes earlier, but they've been doing this for so long. Like they've been doing this for 12, 13, 14, 15 years. And sometimes people just get fucking tired. No matter what you do the same job with so much pressure on you. And especially after the point where you are deemed a possible Olympian, you get so much pressure from your parents, from your coaches, from the Olympic team. Like you can't, there's no escape from it. So for her to say, you know what, I've had enough. I'm not focused and I'm not losing. I'm losing my spots. I need to take myself out of this competition for my mental health and for my safety. I absolutely agree with it. I think sometimes we come from that old school of, well, you just got to push through. You got to do it for your team and make it happen, which I agree with too, but I'm not going to bash anybody for doing what's best for them.
I'm gonna pick this up right from where you left, BJ. There's been a lot of people pushed through and gone to get that Olympic gold and have fucked their lives up, have fucked their bodies up. And when you really look at the reaction from a lot of people, these are one who don't even know how to fucking tumble. You know what I'm saying? Don't even know how to do a cartwheel. Yet alone, we'll talk about somebody who's breaking records and creating moves on her own, right? So who we are, we have this talented athlete who is literally, like you said, been doing this probably all her life. I'm probably from the minute she's been able to, she's probably been doing it. Mm-hmm. And to know your body and to know where you should be in the game, if your head's not in the game, like you may want to just step back. And that's what she's doing. And I appreciate it because one, I think she's doing it at a great time, and she's probably more comfortable now than any other athlete who's been ever wanted to even thought about stepping back, because people are a little bit more serious about mental health, right? And understanding like what goes on here affects everything else. And so she has the right to say, I'm gonna step back. She has the right to, if she never wants to be, you know, she never wants to do another flip. She has every single right. She literally doesn't have to prove anything to anybody ever again.
Right.
Absolutely. Right? She's done such a great job in her career. She can literally walk away and still be at the top of the game until some six-year-old grows up enough to become the next Hurt, right? So, to me, I think a lot of people are just glory hogs and just want that moment of do it for the USA. Well, truthfully, like, there's no need for you to sit there and to jack up your body and possibly paralyze or maybe even die just for gold medal for the US. Like, it's not even about being patriotic or unpatriotic. It's literally about common sense about playing the game. Like, pushing, I've seen a couple of stories and tweets and stuff about past Olympians from the US, or maybe I think all over. One guy got the gold after he broke his neck. You know what I'm saying? Like, he pushed through. I think he was wrestling. And he ended up becoming paralyzed later on, right? And then I think that if not, either way, something did happen to him. I don't know. Something later on, like within his life. He went, you know what I'm saying?
WWE and became a wrestler. Or WWF.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Golly. And then homegirl, she broke her leg or foot or something, her ankle. She was another gymnast.
Mary Lou.
And, you know, yeah, she pushed through. But I feel like I think she has some things that happened to her later on in life. Like, I think she stepped away from the game after that. Either way, even if they didn't, if you feel like you don't want to do something, don't do it. You don't owe anybody anything, especially if you've already proven yourself in the Olympics before. You know what I'm saying? This is not her first games where she has to make a name for herself and do X, Y, Z. Like, she's been here before, so she knows what it takes to really participate and to get that goal. So I appreciate her doing that. And anyone else who got some issues, you really need to shut the fuck up. But, you know, everybody got Twitter accounts, so.
And she's definitely literally retiring on top, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, like, the question there comes, who is she? What does she still have to prove to anybody? She doesn't have to prove anything to any of us because she's the most decorated gymnast ever. She's got 4 events that she's got named after herself because she made them. She's literally the only gymnast that gets graded on a curve against herself versus the difficulty of the actual event. Like, there's nothing that anybody can say about her in gymnastics where anybody should have any doubt that she's the greatest to ever do it. Now, sure, she has stuff to prove. She is the standard. She set the bar, right. Reset the bar, and then said, hey, throw away them 2 bars because I just made all these other fucking moves. So you're going to have to find another way to score them. What?
She got bars.
What? Yeah, all the bars. And, like, at this point, she's competing against herself. And she reached a level where, I guess, the return just wasn't worth what she was putting into it, right? She is also different from the other gymnasts that we talked about had physical injuries that they pushed through. Because even Mary Lou in the, I want to say, 88 or 84 Olympics, ankles heal. Ankles can have surgery. Ankles can be fucking replaced nowadays, shit. But when we're talking about mental health, if you let that get to too bad of a point, what's next? Depression for the rest of your life? For some people, unfortunately, suicide. Like, it's dire things if you let your mental health get out of control and don't reel it in. And she took the adult response and saying, hey, this is more important for my future than this event, which I've already got umpteenth amount of golds.
Right.
I need to protect my peace and myself. And that's what she did. And she did it in a way where, like, if you follow gymnastics, I don't know why I've fucking been a huge gymnastic person since I was a kid, but I fucking like watching gymnastics. The opening round of the team tournament, she did errors that she's never done in her life. She stepped out of bounds twice on the floor routine. She completely missed and just didn't do one of the moves in one of the other events. And, like, those things aren't Simone Biles. Like, so you could literally watch that and know she's not right. If I can know that from watching the TV, then it's something way bigger than anything that I can even fathom going on in her mind that she's probably even shared with people. Because when you think about her experience from when she was a child till now in the Olympics, a child in the Olympics till now in the Olympics, she dealt with a whole lot of ups and downs. When the whole Larry Nassar thing came up, she was the top Olympian in the world, and she had to be the face of all the abused people because she was one of them. So everybody looked up to her. So like that pressure has just been constantly building since then, and it hasn't gotten worse. Like JT said, when they literally just changed the scoring on her and said, it's not good enough anymore because we're grading you against the old you. Like, what? No, that's not how it works. Like, so
right. It's
just a real shitty thing that it had to come to that. But like I said online the other day, whatever somebody has to do to protect their peace that doesn't negatively impact other people, they should do it, because your mental health is more important than any fucking medallion, any goddamn song that's being played at the award ceremony, because this is going to impact you the rest of your life, and some people don't know how to deal with it, they don't know how to recover from it. So just make sure that you're doing what you can before it gets too bad.
I definitely think it was brave of her to do it as well. Like, this is that I don't think people give enough credit for that part. It's brave, especially being a top tier athlete. You know, when people they might say they washed out or they couldn't cut it or they couldn't hack it, all this stuff, and really they just have some mental shit that they needed to take care of themselves. And the fact that she did it on the biggest stage in the world and addressed this was brave. And if I'm not mistaken, she's still there supporting her team, right? She's just not competing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she stayed
on the floor the whole time. She never left the floor. She stayed competing, even when she was like, I can't do it right now, but I'm going to sit right here on this chair and cheer y'all along.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, so that's the best teammate you could ever have. And then when you said she's competing against herself, that's got to be a daunting task when you know you's a bad motherfucker, right? So, like, I wonder if the other competition think, are they afraid of competing against her? I know they are because she's bad, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So now she kind of sees that she's competing against herself. This is a pressure that other people, at least in the competition part, have to feel, because that's like any of us, even 10 years ago, saying, you about to play one-on-one with Michael Jordan. Yeah, I'm going to give it my all, but okay. You know, it's just...
If I score, it's cool.
Yeah, right. You're competing no comment. Second. But you know what I'm saying? It's just one of those things where that's a daunting thing. And now that she's maybe has lost a step, whatever, but you're going to compare me to how I was 4 years ago. That's really just not fair.
Yeah.
But she hasn't even lost a step. Yeah. She created these routines last year, like in the world championship where she fucking dominated and reset records.
Well, I think if you've ever been an athlete or if you ever performed in an athletic contest, you know that majority of your performance is mental. You know, you got to kind of see yourself do things before you, like, you got to see yourself and practice doing this crossover or shooting this jumper from this place that you've shot 1,000 times. You got to feel it. And it's a lot of mental that goes into your sports performance. It's not just the physical, you know, of course you can push your body to do it, but can your mind go with it to make it be as great as it should be? So I think from that one, the disrespect that you guys have already talked about, the disrespect from them just being like, yo, you're too good, we're going to have to judge you on a curve where you can't get full credit for being great. I think that takes a big blow to that's a big blow to your mental, you know, even your preparation. It's like, well, why am I doing this for? Like, if somebody tells you before you sit down and take this test, the highest you can score is a 70, just so you know. I know you're smart. I know you've studied all night, but how's you going to get it as a 70?
Yes.
Like, wait, then why? Forget this test. I ain't even passing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Depending on your grading scale, like, that ain't even passing. So why am I sitting down here just to fail this test? So I think that's a big part of it. Another part of it is that a lot of people kind of gloss over is the fact that, man, it takes courage to show back up to the place and be a part of something that you were sexually assaulted in. To show back up in that place. Like, that's something that we don't really think about. She has to keep coming back to this place. Yeah, the doctor's in jail or dead or whatever he is. You know, he needs to be somewhere dead or in jail or whatever. But So he's not there. A lot of the people who had something to do with that are not there, but she's still there and she has to keep showing up to perform on top and revisiting this place. There's people who won't go to the same city where they were assaulted. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They won't go on the same block. They won't even, you know, you mentioned the person's, a person's name that's similar to their, you know, their perpetrator, and they can't deal with it. So for her to show up and to perform at a high level back at the place, you got to keep going back to Egypt, you know, for the church folk. You got to keep going back to perform. Like that's huge. But the next part is, I've literally have not heard a negative thing about her. So it's kind of tripping me out. All on my timeline on Facebook, Instagram, everywhere, it's just like, y'all need to leave her alone. Who's messing with her? Because I haven't. I mean, it's just it not. You know, I don't have a comprehensive timeline that everybody is on and people posting articles, whatever like that. But I have not heard anybody say anything negative about her, and I'm getting cussed out. I feel like I showed up on time and I gotta get the speech about being late. I'm like, bro, I ain't saying nothing. Let's move on. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people are going in.
You feel like that?
See, like
today.
So said part of it was because I was the same way. I didn't actually see her. I'm trying to actually pull it up now. Nobody on my timeline threw shade. Nobody like went at her about anything like that. I hope I can find it. But one thing, and I'll give you the context while I'm looking for it. I'm trying to find my notification. But on a local news channel, News Channel 5 or something, they put up a post about it. And these random people that I would never actually add on my social media page, they were trying to go in.
Oh, in the comments?
And of course, oh my God, yeah. Oh, man, of course, the whole world, like, were just attacking him, like, you piece of shit and this and that. But those are the people who have been going at it. They're not in our circles because... If our people in our circles acted like that, we'd probably just dismiss them from our circles.
Right.
but it's a lot of people out there that are fucking doing that stuff and saying that stuff. And it's shitty, but it's still a real thing. It's a lot of people that are doing it.
Yeah. It's one thing. Drake, just interrupt me when you get your source. It's one thing. And another thing, too, that people are doing that I kind of look sideways at. And if you've never done it before, you don't have an opinion. First off, calm down. We live in a capitalistic society. We have an opinion about people's performances. Matter of fact, a lot of athletes' success is based on public support. That's, you wouldn't get an endorsement deal if it wasn't about public support. You know what I'm saying? It's all about how people respond to you. It's all about how people do. So it's not even about her really, what does she have to prove? No, she's entertaining. She's entertaining. And people log into the Olympic Games to be entertained, not... You know, I mean, it's probably other reasons too, but I think majority, like Dre said, since I was little, I've been watching, and I love to watch these gymnasts because he's entertained by it, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, and so then to turn around and say, well, if you've never done it before, you can't say nothing. Well, wait, I like being entertained, and she's not doing it right now, so I feel some kind of way about that. Go ahead, Dre. I'd like you ready.
Yeah, no. So I found it. So this article from News Channel 5 and some local outlet. Probably can't see it any zooming. But they're basically saying, we're thinking of you, Simone, your strength and courage to focus on your well-being. It's something that we can all learn from, blah, blah, blah. Well, this little sewer trash, Jamie Gorski, she threw a whole little article up. She is not a hero. She chose this for her life. She is a failure, and there were lots of other women who would have done anything to have the chance that she so foolishly wasted. I find it disgusting that so many people are calling her a hero, leader, or champion. She is absolutely not any of those things. She is a horrible representation of our country. I think most of you need to be more educated on what a hero truly is. And the best response that I could find without just totally wasting my whole afternoon going in on her is, I don't know if you can see it. There we go.
You are a whole...
It might show
it sounds like this person,
like the person
stormed the Capitol, but okay. Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
So, like, those are the comments that she's getting, and we're not seeing them because those aren't our people, but she's definitely aware of them. She knows they're out there, and it's just fucking trolls.
Yeah.
People who are shit, pieces of shit. They're trolling her. Trolls gonna be trolls.
Yeah, but I do want to get back to the point of, like validating people's feelings or disappointment in her not performing, right? I mean, I'm not saying take shots at her character. I take, you know, like that woman's completely out of pocket. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying, you know, for somebody to say, oh man, that's messed up. I was really looking forward to seeing Simone. Man, I wish she could just tough it up and tough it out and for my entertainment purposes, right? If somebody feels that way, like, but here, we're in America, man. Like, that's how we do.
That's understandable, though.
Yeah, like, that's how we do. Like, we're like,
that part is understandable.
I am contributing to a product financially. I want to see that product. You know, like, I bought these Nikes because I saw Simone Biles wear these Nikes. You know what I'm saying? Or I put my daughter in cheerleading or in gymnastics because she does it. And it just motivated me. Because, you know, most people in gymnastics are not there because they love it. They're there because their parents love it. And then they grow into love
but,
it.
At least in this, so, yeah. Right.
But,
they grow
but
it.
The thing is, like, how do we justify holding her hostage to the sport when she doesn't feel up
so,
to the challenge?
Here's the thing. We're not holding her hostage. She's holding herself hostage to the sport. She came in there dominating. And now people are just like, oh, snap, Simone's going to be here tonight. We got to be there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those things that just kind of happened. Like, we talked about, you know, let me pick some else because Dre don't like Jordan. Let's talk about no, I don't want to talk about LeBron either. Let's talk about
LeBron's fine.
Nah.
Just not Jordan.
Let's just use somebody off. Let's say James Harden, right? James Harden's a blockbuster player. Like, he's going to do some stuff out there that's going to make everybody be like, wow, that was cool. By him being so great, working so hard to be so great, you've made yourself hostage to this sport. You know what I'm saying? Because people came to pay to see you. People are always going to come and pay to see you. Whether they know you're playing or not, they know your team is playing, they're showing up in hopes to seeing you. We look for, until she says she retires, we look for Simone Biles, like every Olympics, until she says she's done. You know what I'm saying? And no matter what the judges do, we want to see her do some amazing things so we can continue to say, you're a hero. You're great. You're, you know what I'm saying? And so, like, to completely, and I get the sentiment that everybody's trying to, like, you know, because in our society, you can't bring somebody up without tearing somebody down. You just, that's how we do things. And so I get the people trying to defend her, but at the same time, like, let's look at this practically and realistically. Yes, people are going to have an opinion about being disappointed that they don't get to see a star athlete. You know, they talk about it on Sports Center all the time. Just like,
yeah, it's like when the NBA players sit there, star players resting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
We selfishly want it, right, but we just got to understand that it ain't all about us and our needs because we are a selfish fucking society.
Yeah.
So now, now I'm looking. Go ahead, because I'm about to switch it up a little bit. Go ahead, finish.
I think that's a little different when you talk about NBA players just being soft and doing that load management shit. I understand. It's
No. It's not about that. It's just about seeing them and not seeing them. Not the why behind it.
I know. But what I'm saying is, like, because I've been to a Thunder game to see the Lakers and LeBron didn't play. Like, fuck. I've never seen LeBron play in person. I was really looking forward to it. But it was an injury. Whatever. You know, you can't be mad at that. Mm-hmm. So I understand what Seth is saying as far as what we want. But I think it's just extremely, and I think Dre touched on it, it's just extremely selfish to be like, oh, I really wanted to see her and then bash her just because she pulls out for mental health issues or emotional issues. You know, that's just kind of fucked up.
Right. Yeah. We need to see it as mental injuries, just like a physical injury.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah. So now my question is, how do we treat kids moving forward who no longer want to play a sport at any given time because they're just not into it? Like, does this change any of, like, Little League, high school, maybe even college, I say more so for Little League when there are parents who make their kids play sports just because.
I don't think this argument has any impact on that conversation.
I think it does.
I think they're totally.
I think it does, though.
In a way, I think it does.
Let me
yeah.
give you this, Dre. I get what, okay, knee jerk, I get you, Dre. But I think Simone is changing the narrative in this. Because usually when people walk away from a sport, it's because they got caught up in something. You know what I'm saying? Like a lifestyle choice, a missed opportunity, or something that happened where it's just like, dang, all the potential is going in the trash. She's not doing that. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's like, I'm taking my talents to benefit myself at this time. You know what I'm saying? Like, so she's changing the narrative of athletes who just don't want to do it right now. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you feel sorry for them or you're being whatever. And not even just her, the tennis player. I should know her name since I'm bringing her up, but I do know her name.
Naomi Sasaki.
Yeah, same thing with her. Like, she's hella talented, but she's just like, there's no scandal associated with her stepping away from the sport for a little bit. it's just, this is what I need to do. And I think that needs to happen because we're so used to athletes being like, you're out of shape now. You gave up on your sport. You gave up on yourself. You're on drugs now. And that's usually the narrative that we hear when athletes walk away. And that's not the narrative anymore. Or for this, it's not the narrative. It's I need to take care of myself. And LeBron started this even in the league. I think LeBron and company started this with knowing my worth and knowing I'm going to rest my body. Because I don't know, I played college ball for 20-something games. I could imagine playing 82 games. My body was done at the end of the season with all the practices and the games and the, you know, conditioning and stuff like on my own personal work, you know?
Right. I get what both of y'all are saying, but what I'm...
That shit to the kids.
What? Right. No, what I'm saying is some... Wait, hear me out okay. here, because the conversation here is about somebody in both situations, her and Naomi. It's about their mental capacity not being able to focus enough to perform at a high level.
Right.
That ain't got shit to do with not wanting to do what your parents are telling you to try out.
Huh?
Like, how are we overlapping these two?
I don't think this... Was that your point, JT?
JT?
I thought he was saying...
That's his question.
So he's saying
making them do a sport that they didn't want, that they don't like.
No, when you say that...
Yeah, he said...
When you say... Just because they don't like it, I think that's one thing.
Right, but it's not related to their mental state. That's just their personal preference.
Says who?
I get what
you. Here's my thing. Like,
if you're saying you're forcing a kid to play basketball, but they don't want to play basketball. The issue is they don't want to play basketball. It's not their mental health.
So how took the?
But I'm saying what I'm talking about is people who want to walk away at any time from the game for like so, like I.
All right, well, rephrase that question then, because that question is not that. And I want to make sure I hit him right. Because
that's how I took
it. If you're saying you're making somebody play a sport they don't want to play, it's not about their mental health. They just don't want to play it. Right? But you're saying it's not that. It's about walking them. Away. They love the sport or they like the sport, and then they just decided they don't want to
do it anymore. Yeah.
They don't want to do it anymore? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I took from
because
it.
Because it's a yes. drastic difference. It's a
so
drastic
I say
difference.
I say yes. I say kids who love the sport, who the parents said, oh, we'll put you in football. You like football. That's cool. So the kid ends up playing for a little bit, doing great, whatever. And then all of a sudden they get to high school, maybe college or whatever. I really want to keep it towards a little league, but I'll outgrow that part. And at some point, I feel like there's a pressure for athletes in general who have probably checked out and probably able just to go through the motions of playing the sport. Like, do you think that there are going to be more athletes moving forward saying like, my head's just not in this anymore. Like I'm functioning because I only wanted a scholarship to pay for college, but truly fuck the scholarship. Like, because I'm mentally not here. Like I can't perform.
Yeah. But
in the totality of playing, because mentally it's just not there. Like, it's like somebody who says like, my heart's not in it.
Right. I feel like people have been doing that forever though. I don't think that's necessarily a mental health thing.
No,
I don't think it's a mental health thing. I just think they lost interest. Like my brother, he got offered a full ride football to Penn State. He was an all-state linebacker, and he just decided he didn't like football anymore, scholarship or not. Like, that's right, a thing. That's always been a thing. That's not his mental state. It's just he lost interest in said event.
But what I'm saying, what I got from JC's question, and I don't want you to deter from it, if you're going to go to Little League, the thing is that you have a kid who's interested in the sport. You're interested in that kid being in the sport. You make them play basketball, football, baseball, whatever it may be. They start playing. They're great at it. And then somewhere around 12 years old, they say, I don't want to do this no more. I think it does change the dynamic toward that kid. To be an up-and-coming future All-American, or you're going to go to this high school and play football here, or that college. You know, because I don't know about y'all. I guess I started getting recruited in basketball and football in middle school. So it's like... They're already looking at you as what you're going to be and what you're going to do. Your parents already have this expectation of who you are, what you're going to be, because you're so good at this sport. And then to be like at 12, 13, 14, I don't want to do this anymore, right? I think it does have those same implications of like, how do you regard this kid, right? Because it ain't that they messed up. It's that they don't want to do it anymore. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's mental health reasons or whether it's
interest. I don't understand.
I think the question is still to the core of it is, are we now going to more so be accepting for athletes to walk away, especially in the height of their performance? of their performance.
It's like, always been a thing.
It hasn't. But I still feel like there's just a whole bunch of negative
right
speak when it comes to people walking away from shit that they're really good
exactly.
at. It's for whatever reasons. I'll lay it out and make it open. For whatever reasons, do we feel like this situation can help open up more students, more athletes to be feel free to walk away from shit? Do you think we're going to have more effect there?
I would hope so.
Well, Dre, I'm not saying that people haven't been walking away for years. They have been walking away. But I don't, man, I've been around athletes, and I would consider myself one at some point. It is negative to walk away from a sport. It's never been a positive thing to walk away from a sport, no matter how, what your reasons are. If you say, if people expect you to
my
be.
My brother did it.
Okay, one person did
All state linebacker.
Well, I'm not saying he did it.
Offered to a Big Ten.
Okay, so you're telling, so I, and what now you cannot say. What you, Hall of Fame. Wait. But wait, what you cannot.
But instead, he's a CEO.
Okay, I get that. But what you can't.
He's fine.
The person is fine who walks away. What we're talking about is the people who perceive that walk away. Like, you can't say that the person, the coaches who was getting ready for him to come to Penn, who wanted him to come to Penn State, for the fans who want him, the boosters, and everybody who wanted him to come, the people who may have been around him to be like, oh, this brother gonna go play at Penn State. You can't say they didn't have any negative thoughts about him with that. You don't know. Maybe.
And I'm glad that your brother had a camp around him that was like, cool, whatever thing. You decide to do. But we're talking about the majority. We're talking about the masses of people who literally want to walk away from
because
shit,
you're their meal
but
ticket.
Feel the pressure. Yeah, the pressure of everything. Like, do we feel like she has opened up or at least cracked the door a little bit more for people to walk away from shit? They just, instead of just going through the motion, just to be a paycheck, just to get a scholarship, just to, you know, just because that's all they know.
Oh, glory.
You know what I'm saying? Like, right. that's what I'm saying.
And what I'm saying is that in most instances, I don't think this conversation will, because in most instances when they're walking away, it's not because they're protecting their mental health. If it comes to a situation where they're like, I'm walking away, and they're like, why? They're like, I can't bear the responsibility. I can't take it, man. I can't. Okay, in that instance, then it relates. But across the board, as a flat statement, I don't think this applies to most cases.
So I think you just, you focus too much on the reason why they're walking away.
But that's but the, JT, no, he's saying, he's, is no, that JT reason? Said, wait. But no, the question reason, is the reason.
No, JT said, no. For any reason, does she make it to where
does
you can
relate?
Walk? Yeah, she's right. He's saying, for any reason, can a person walk away from a sport and not have the negative implications are coming back on them, and you're saying it
because
doesn't
because of what she's going through.
No,
because of what she's
for
going
any
through.
Reason. You,
because
you
she
looking
chose
over that.
He's specifically relating it to Simone. Though.
No, he said that she opened a door for people to be able to walk away from a sport for any reason.
JT, can you clarify?
Say it again, JT.
So I'll be honest. The question has morphed several times just to kind of get the whole debate going. But I'm asking, do we feel like it's going to be more of an more athletes will be accepted when they choose to walk away from a sport? And I mean, shit, now I'm fucked up my own question. Damn it.
You want to think about it? So
go for it.
I understand JT's point and his sentiment in the sense of, if you make a kid continue to play a sport that they don't want to play, it will at some point affect their mental health. Because you're making them do something they don't even want to fucking do. Like, you got a little kid mm-hmm. who doesn't want to play football. He doesn't want to play football, but you're making him. My nephew went through that. He took like a couple mm-hmm. years off, and now this year, he's serious about it. He made sure he was back from Tulsa to start football camp and all that because he wants to do it. Last year, he was like, COVID's mm-hmm. going on. I'm not doing it. The year before that, he just kind of was like, eh. So my brother didn't make him. He's like, I'm not going to make him mm-hmm. do anything. And my nephew is way bigger than we were at his age. So it's kind of like, so he's getting that pressure from us. Well, we try not to pressure him, but it's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like,
but it's going
to
be there.
Us in
yeah.
there. Right. Yeah. You know, so we don't pressure him in that way. But I did have a conversation one year. I said, if you don't want to do it because you don't like it and you don't want to do it, that's fine. But we don't do things. We don't not do things just because you're being lazy. So if you're just being lazy and you want to play, go ahead and do it. But if you really don't love it, if you're not into it anymore, I don't care what he does. He loves architecture, whatever. He can be great at anything.
Matter of fact,
I'm okay with that.
Dre, think about this. When Kyrie Irving was on his, I ain't playing, I'm sitting out. Was he warmly welcomed? And he cited mental health stuff.
It's because of how he did it.
It doesn't matter.
He ghosted. He no-called, no-showed for like five games.
He was mentally unstable.
it doesn't matter.
It's so now it don't matter. It does matter, bro.
No, like, no. You can send the text message. The way that he handled it is his problem. If he would have handled it a different way, it wouldn't have been the issue that he got.
Okay,
he
what
got
about the second time he did it?
Because
the second
time
he said it. He said, I'm dealing with some stuff. I'm step away for a few games.
Right, and the team had his back.
They just still
people were like, bro, we'll see him when he sees him. He's got to take care of his own. He didn't get that heat that he got the first time.
Yes, he did.
That's what I'm saying.
He might not got it.
No, he didn't. Yeah. I'm in Brooklyn. I watch the news every day. I'm around Brooklyn Nets fans way more than you are. Yeah, he wasn't getting that same clapback.
Listen, so I watch ESPN.
You're welcome, because you needed it.
Okay, I watch ESPN like most people in this world. Who love sports, and on sports they were ESPN. They were dragging him. Sorry, you missed it in Brooklyn. But in
for the second time, I watched ESPN every morning. I was working from home.
Okay, I made it up. I ain't see.
I was watching it every day. I know it's okay. Wait. You're welcome.
I swear, if something's not in your experience, it's not true. That's stupid as hell.
Here you go.
I didn't experience it, so it didn't happen. Anyway,
you literally read the comment I wrote about you on Facebook.
Children. All right, let's bring it on in. Let's bring it on.
No one said anything negative in Brooklyn, so it didn't happen anywhere in the whole world. No one said anything to my brother, so it doesn't happen to athletes. The hell? If it doesn't happen to Dre, it's not true.
So,
thank you, BJ. these kids.
But the point is, oh my God. If you make a kid do something he doesn't want to do, it's going to affect he or she doesn't want to do. It will affect their mental health. So if they're saying, I don't want to do this anymore. For sure. If they're saying, I don't want to do this anymore, in hindsight, they really are doing it for their mental health. So the reason is the same. The reason is the same.
I just think
it's doing it for their mental health.
If they don't want to do it,
and it's going to affect their mental health in the end, they're doing it for their mental health.
So the question is like, what constitutes as mental health when it comes to athletes then?
And I need
that clarification.
It's so
there.
Like, yeah.
Because of that, that means now, you know, like I feel like you're disqualifying certain things.
Like, that ain't mental health. This is. You got to do mental health in a certain way. Like, you got to make an announcement that your mental health is off in order for you to take a mental health break. Like, I think
because if
it's more detrimental for somebody to just ghost and be like, man, I'm at a breaking point. I'm done. I think that's more than somebody.
To me, that's more natural.
Yeah, than somebody being like, let me call a press conference and let everybody know I'm having a mental health break and I'm going to be out for a little bit. No.
Because that's nice. That's a nice form to do it. But
I wouldn't recommend doing that either. That's way too much.
You just said the way he did it made him.
Well, I mean, making a comment.
His employer are the only people that need to know. All they have to do is pick up the phone and say, hey, I'm dealing with something. I need to step away. And that's what he did the second time. He ain't do shit the first time. His coach was in a press conference. They said, where's Kyrie been the last week? He said, I don't know, but I hope he's okay.
Okay.
That's never acceptable.
It's acceptable when they come back around and you realize that they've had mental health issues. It's like, oh, dang, you've been out of pocket. Okay, let's see what we can do to help you.
But what he's saying is professionally, you should pick up the... So I have a question. Your job right now, if you decide to stop showing up for 2 weeks and then say I have mental health issues,
you don't have a job anymore.
Yeah, people are going to be...
Here's the thing. Here's how you know you need mental health. You should. Yes, you should. Here's how you know you need mental health help in a lot of different cases. And I'm a first aid mental health certified person, Dre. So what I'm saying is true. Gosh, like if the way you know that you need mental health,
nigga took one class, no. So he an expert.
Okay,
on
one class, right? Okay. So the way you know a person needs mental health. Intervention is when it affects their quality of life and the way that they live their lives, right? So you should call your employer and say, in order to protect your quality of life, you should call your employer to say, I'm having a crisis, so I'm not coming to work. So to protect your way of life. However, in a true mental health crisis, you don't have that what I should do right now. You have this dark cloud over you that you can't see past this cloud to say, let me call my employer, let me call my neighbor, let them know, let me call my sister and brother and let them know what's going on. You don't have that. You might find yourself in the alley shooting up. You might find yourself with your phone dead and you smoking as much weed and drinking as much as you can and just ain't took a shower in 3 days. You don't even know like what it's going to be when you hit that mental health break. So to say what you should do and what should have happened and what's acceptable, what's not acceptable with mental health, like that's a big expectation to put on people.
I get what you're saying, but as an adult, if you're having a mental health break, you still have to be responsible on at least the bare minimum.
How are you responsible on a mental health break?
Responsible saying, hey, I'm having a situation. I need to step away. Bye. Something. If you don't at least let an employer know, no, it's not acceptable.
That's saying that you have the wherewithal to even think about your employer when you're having a mental health break. Some people don't think about their kids when they have a mental health break.
The nigga was partying in a club. He could have called his employer.
Yeah. But I think
ain't much to say about that.
There's a lot to say about that, but I'm just gonna keep arguing.
I don't know if that's true, but that's fine. Sidrice, I think you're going to the most extreme mental health breakdown.
No,
like,
that could be anybody. Anybody can have a mental health break at any time, and they're not thinking rationally. That's the point of a mental health break. You're not thinking rationally.
I get you, but I feel like you're saying as if somebody snapped. If somebody snapped, then more likely, no, they're not calling and letting nobody know what's going on with them. And even if it's some form of depression, I still.
So JT,
I'm kind of halfway. I'll admit I am halfway between both of y'all's point, because if there's something really going on with me and I'm paralyzed mentally, you know, paralyzed, whatever. Nah, I'm probably not reaching out to anybody because that's probably some dark space that I'm in. Right.
But you're going to call your job.
If you have.
Yes.
More than likely, I will.
How do you qualify a mental health break? How do you say somebody's off enough to have a mental health break?
Because also the thing is, like, now how are you going to tell your job that you need time for whatever if you never tell them what the fuck is going on? Like, you got to show and prove or present something to let people know.
Sometimes you don't even know.
You're being responsible.
Sometimes you don't even know that you're having a mental health break. You just know that I'm not doing anything. I'm sitting here and I can't move. And you look up and you realize, dang, it's been 3 days. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't always this neat, clean idea of like, let me check in.
And that's the part where I agree with
you. And then too, there's a level of dignity in that. When you have a mental health break and it's still taboo in your community to just be like, yo, I'm feeling off right now. Like, she has the luxury, I say luxury, of having the world looking at her. And Naomi, they have the luxury of the world looking at them to say, something seems off. Like Dre, you said it. Something's off with her performance. She don't perform like that. So people can look at you and tell. But that person who has like 100 friends on Facebook and got a profile picture from 2003 or 6, that's when it came, started, 2006. You know what I'm saying? And don't nobody really check in on them like that. And you telling them, in order for you to have a proper mental health break, you got to call it your job first. What?
But the picture
is from 2000. Across the board, in any situation we're talking about, their employer would probably call them, if not that first day, at least that second day, and picking up the phone and saying something is all that needs to be done. That's it. You don't have to reach out to them, but they're going to call you if you don't call no show for 2 days in a row.
You're saying that in your right mind, though.
I'm saying an employer.
No, I'm saying you don't. I'm not. What you're deducing right now is in your right mind. Just pick up the phone and say something. Just do that.
No.
That's in your right mind.
I've been through these crazy bouts with depression. I've been places where I didn't want to talk to anybody. I still let my manager know I need time. I'll fill you in when I get back. Gotcha. That's happened.
I got you. Yeah, I do. I see what both of you all are saying, and I still, there is still some level of responsibility to your life that you just to save face in some way, to save your job. Yeah. But I get, like, if you tell your job, which who are people who are dependent on you, like, I'm not coming in, I'm not doing. What they choose to do with that after that is it's truly whatever the protocol is. However, whenever you try to take your break or whatever, like, you just sometimes you are not there. You are not, you know what I'm saying, able to actually make that telephone call. And that's going to be a problem. Like,
yeah, it's going to be a problem.
Unfortunately, that's just what it is. There's a legal aspect to that.
But that's the extreme situation.
Not always, but yeah.
That's the extreme situation.
Yes, it is. So,
BJ?
It's the difference between saying, I need to take a mental health break and having a psychiatric breakdown. And I feel like, Sid, you're talking about a psychiatric breakdown.
I'm not, but okay. People break up with their girlfriend or boyfriend and feel like they can't move. And that ain't an emergency. They just heartbroken. But they find themselves not eating, losing weight, and everything else. Like, you just can't judge my mental health and say what you should do when you have a mental break, no matter what the reason. Oh, it's not severe enough to be a mental health break. Oh, nothing happened to you to have a mental health break. That sounds real.
Well, unfortunately, it's just unfortunate. If you do not do certain things, certain protocols that are there, then your life can honestly, fall apart more.
Yeah, I get that, but
you know what I'm saying, more than what it would be.
That's where mental health intervention comes in, because now you're at a place where you can't even control you're not making the best decision for your life. You know what I'm saying? And that can come, it don't have to be a great big depression. Right. It can be like, I've been with this person I love to death for 2 years, and she says she don't want me no more. I can't find the floor. I can't find the soft.
Don't do that.
No, I ain't saying that. I'm saying, like, no, your heart is soft.
Keep going.
And that's like, no. But that's the thing. That's what happens, right? If somebody says, I can't do this, I can't, oh, you're soft, whatever. Because honestly, it's hard for me as a manager sometimes to accept any excuses about why you can't come in.
Absolutely. Or why, absolutely. Right? Mm-hmm. Because it's hard, especially because you there.
I've got a phone call. No, well, not only that, like it, even when I was been throughout the years, I got a phone call about my grandfather Tommy passing away at 8:30 in the morning. I was supposed to be at work at 10. Cried my eyes out for like 3 hours. Went to work, and I worked the whole day. And the other manager was like, "Go home." I called him, let him know, "Look, this happened. I'm going to be late." Got there, and they set something up where the opening manager would be the mid and the other one, so I could go home. I said, "I can't go home. I'll be by myself." Maybe that's how I deal with shit. Mm-hmm. But the point is, it's hard for me to accept that. And maybe it's the way I was raised. Maybe it's my own mental psyche or whatever it is that, like you guys said, it's hard to quantify or qualify what's depression, what's mental health, what hurts enough to not come to work or to not continue doing what you're supposed to do, right? Yeah. You break up with somebody. So what? You still got to go to work. You get through your 8 hours or your 5 hours, whatever, and then you can go home and be depressed as the fuck you want to be. But once you have to deal with the world, you go out. That's how I deal with things. That doesn't mean it's right or wrong or if somebody else deals with it a certain way. But because of maybe how we were raised or how we deal with things, when we see somebody at work crying about their girlfriend and or their boyfriend and they act like they can't focus, they can't do shit, they can't do your job, I look at that as like, suck it up. You have to compartmentalize this time. You're at work. After you get off work, we can go have a drink and you can cry as much as you want to. I'm here for you. But right now we are at work. Let's get this shit done.
Well, here's the thing.
That's how I feel about it.
This is the thing I love about this show, and I hope our listeners love about this show. We can go round and round about our four different perspectives because they branch out from our four different lives. And that's why we came up with 1528, because it represents the four different places we come from. And so
we done talking about
this. We're all in different places in our lives. We've all experienced mental health in different places.
Ultimate wrap up.
And we
right, like we done talking about this.
Oh, but we're not doing. I need to rebut something BJ said real quick.
I try to respect Dre's request to be out by 45, but go ahead, everybody.
Just going to say I completely disagree with what BJ's saying, because I've been a place in my life where I didn't want to leave the couch for 3-4 days at a time. Yeah. And going to work wasn't an option for me. I just wasn't getting off the couch. So everybody deals with things different ways. Everybody handles shit a certain way, but you just also have to realize your actions have
consequences.
Yep. Mm-hmm. If you are in that break and you don't call, don't expect to have a job when you come back.
Right.
And expect there to be some kind of backlash because you didn't handle it in a quote-unquote responsible manner.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
Yeah. No.
There's rules that are set up.
Right.
For certain things. And you just got to follow it. And unfortunately, if you can't, then there's certain, issues.
Yeah,
that
just if you go to the hospital and you're unconscious for 3 or 4 days and then you wake up, you might not have a job when you wake up. But what could you do about that? You couldn't call anybody. You're in the hospital. Hopefully when you wake up, they'll accommodate you, but they may not.
Understand.
They may say,
hopefully
they do. Just like you may come back after your mental health break and say, yo, I couldn't even, and they may be like, oh, well, I understand. Come on back. Or they may be like, I'm sorry. We had to let you go.
We find it better if you continue to focus on your shit. Right.
That is the corporate answer.
Just keep waking up.
Yeah. So y'all, for real, like I was saying, I love the fact we have different perspectives and we can kind of get into it and lock horns on some of them. But I hope, the hope is that, the different perspectives will touch the different people who will listen to this show and make them have different conversations with their family and friends. And so we've had that type of response with the other mental health episodes we've had. So hopefully we'll see the same in this one. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. But before we do that, I wanted to get y'all's final thoughts.
I would like to give a shout out to George Dickel. Their bottled and bond is amazing. They don't sponsor me, but I drink it. And I like this one. So shout out to Dickel for making a drink that I like.
Little Dickel pickle. You like pickle juice?
Picklebacks.
There you go.
Dickel pickle. I love pickle juice. I think that's why I like taking shots, because it reminded me of the sensation.
All right. Any other final words?
Nope. Yeah.
Any other final thoughts?
All right.
He asked. Blame him.
We're going to pass that real quick.
Like, Dre, come here. Anybody else have any final thoughts?
Oh, wait. I didn't get my actual final thoughts. That was just the liquor. Then BJ cut me off. But yeah, man. Shout out to Simone. She's a hero. I'll fuck what anybody says. She did what she had to protect her peace. Yep. And for all of y'all out there, I can't remember what my post said, but basically, fuck your friends, fuck your work, fuck your relationships, fuck everything else. If you need to put something on hold to deal with what's going on inside here, do what's best for you. And if it was really worth it, everything else would be there or come back later once you get yourself together. That's all I got.
Right. I would just like to say everybody deals with mental health differently. There's no wrong or right way to deal with it, no matter what people say, no matter what I say, because I would say,
and they're not soft.
And they're not soft. Okay. But
well, HR.
I think you should also, you know, they're not. No, but I think we should also feel very fortunate for having strong mental health for the people that are out there that don't go through depression, or maybe the depression is mild. Maybe it only lasts a day or two, or maybe your cloud isn't as dark as somebody else's. Maybe you are out of smile. Let's thank God and appreciate the fact that you're not going through very bad mental health issues, and just try to be a sounding board to the people that are, but also even in that, protect your own mental health, because you can't always listen to everybody's negativity without it affecting you.
Honestly, I guess my final thought on this episode is that be careful how you judge somebody and what they're going through, simply because even if it's not your story, if it's not your situation, understanding however you think that you will handle it doesn't make it right. You know, I honestly feel like we've talked about some true heroes that have between, I think, Biles and Naomi, like, it's real hero shit. It's individuals who are honest with themselves and honest with what they can and can't do. A lot of people just do because there's pressure to do, or they overcompensate, therefore they do. And, you know, when you're honest with yourself, I think you make better choices. And especially if you understand where you are at mentally, I think that helps you make better choices. A lot of people could take some really good lessons from these two individuals with this decision. And I think a lot of people should probably be honest with themselves and say, maybe I need to step back from some things because mentally it ain't where I need to be. Mentally it fucks me up. Mentally, even if it's pressure, I'll be honest with you, some pressure ain't good pressure. Some pressure is good pressure, but there's sometimes where pressure is just some more bullshit that don't need to, you know, you don't need to follow through with. BJ, you laugh too late. Let it go. No, man, it's one of those things that
kids.
No, man, I honestly think that people just need to sometimes just shut the fuck up. And yes, I say this as I'm talking on my own podcast, right, with these fellas, right? You know what I'm saying? But providing, always talking about things in a way where, especially when it's negative, like, shut the fuck up. Like, you don't agree with what she did, but also at the same time, like, you don't need to spread that negativity and talk bad about people. I just want everybody to be respectful to everyone else's decisions, even if they don't understand it or agree with it. And, you know, don't be so cocky in your life. And, you know, that's a hard pill to swallow, you know. But, you know, sometimes just sit out, chill, and understand that you are the reasons for some of your mishaps and mistakes. And, you know, and that's that.
Sneaker gave us a final thought.
So.
I was talking about the entire episode. All this is the final thought about
all the thoughts.
To recap every word that I said.
Just cut to this part. Just cut to this part in the episode.
So, I'll say this. The Bible says in Matthew 22 and 39, it says to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so the barometer of how you love other people is how you love yourself. And so the importance of loving yourself should be at the forefront of your intentionality, your endeavors. Everything you do should be about how you love yourself. how you present yourself, how you want to be, how you want to present yourself into the world and to people. And so is what these women are showing, what Simone is showing is that a love for herself, regardless of what her team feels, like Dre's post said, regardless of what her team feels, her coaches feel, spectators feel, she's loving herself. And I appreciate that, because if she does apply that same love to other people, rock out. She's a phenomenal woman. The next thing is that Luke 22:32 says, he told Paul, Satan desires to have you to sift you as wheat, and after your strength, and turn back and strengthen your brothers. I think we got to look out for each other in those gaps that I was talking about earlier in the conversation. There's different gaps that we recognize in life, and we get to see each other because we're close to each other. So if one of us experienced a life-changing, situation, that's a gap that needs support. You need to fill in that gap with support with that person. Hear that person. Be available to that person as much as you can be. But my final thought is just that: just love yourself, love the people around you, and be there to help people once you make it through your situation.
And you had mentioned scripture, and I was thinking to myself that now I'm playing with myself.
Anyway, I was ready. All right, so we gotta get up out of here, y'all. It's been fun as always, but I'm Sid.
BJ,
this is Dre.
This is JT.
And even with that, we out. Y'all have a good have a good weekend.
Don't be mad.